Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm your host, Summer Brooks, and today my guest is Aaron Ashmore, who our fans and listeners will recognize as having been in Warehouse 13, also on Sci-Fi Channel, and also on Smallville. But right now, he's in a new project on Sci-Fi Channel called Killjoys. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
It's my pleasure, let me tell you. I was a big fan of what you did in Warehouse 13. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a blast. I was really lucky to be a part of that one and was sad to see it end. But, you know, here we are, on a new sci-fi show. So it's all good.
So tell us all about Killjoys.
Well, Killjoys is, you know, basically about a trio of intergalactic bounty hunters. So it's really about us chasing down warrants and chasing down, you know, people in a place called the Quad Planetary System.
And your character, John Jacoby, is not quite the usual bounty hunter type, is he?
Yeah, I mean, he can be tough and he can fight, he can do all those things, but at the same time, he is also willing to just like talk things through. And I wouldn't call him a pacifist because he's not, but I think he's a bit of a fixer. And that is sort of like he'll try and fix the situation as in like talking to people. And he's also a fixer because he's sort of the tech guy. He works with the ships. He fixes whatever needs to be fixed. So if you throw him into it and push him, he can definitely fight and he'll definitely kick butt. But that's not his first response. His first response is to sort of fix things, smooth things out. So, yeah, it's definitely a bit of an interesting choice for a bounty hunter.
Now, was there something particular in the script you read or in the John's character that attracted you to the show and the role?
Well, I read the script after, you know, learning that it was Michelle Lovretta who created Lost Girl, mm-hmm. and Temple Street, the guys who produced Orphan Black. And just on that alone, I was intrigued by the project because two very successful, very cool shows, sort of the creative teams melding together. I thought, oh, I should definitely check this out. And I read the first scene, which is about five pages of the pilot or the first episode, and I was hooked because it had a sense of humor, it was action, it was smart, and there was a twist that happened all in the first like 4 or 5 minutes. And I thought, you know what, this I'm very intrigued about. I want to know more about it. And then, you know, I just went through the audition process, and, you know, it's a long, hard road getting any show, but it worked out, so I was really excited.
What's been the most fun for you so far in doing this show?
Well, I love the cast and crew. I think it's just a really, really great group of people, very talented and just great people, really nice people. So that's always a huge bonus when you're working on this stuff and you're spending so many hours together that you know, you really enjoy the people. As far as like a creative element, I love the idea of exploring a new world because culturally, religion, like all this stuff that's happening on this world, the politics of it are all brand new. So as an actor, you know, you're starting to get to discover all this stuff and discover the character. And it's a lot different than just doing a show that's set in New York City and you're a cop. I mean, you kind of already know what the rules are going to be. But on a show like this where it's not set on Earth and it's totally new rules, it's really, really exciting to delve into that and figure out what all those things are.
Have you had to deal with any difficult technobabble yet?
Oh, sure. Yes, yes. I mean, I do more of the techno stuff, but it's not crazy technobabble. It's more just like even the names of some of the planets and some of the characters are pronounced in different ways that, you know, on the page you're looking at it and you're like, is it pronounced like this or like this? And we'd always have to get clarification from Michelle what they wanted, how to say things and stuff. And also the politics. It's like, oh, so, you know, it's a completely different power structure, the government and the religion and stuff like that. So it's just fun to just dive into all that stuff.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. What, without going into too many spoilers, are there any surprises that fans can look forward to?
Well, a huge part of the first season arc is both Dutch's character and Davin's character have these big secrets and that they're kind of trying to hide and sort of tearing the team apart. And through every episode, we kind of get a little bit more, particularly of Dutch, who's sort of the leader of our team, her backstory, how she got to be here. And so I think that that's a really interesting thing to see, because we're sort of thrown into this world in the first episode. And you know, I think that a sci-fi audience is intelligent, and that's why they can do these things, is just throw you in and expect that everybody's just going to, you know, hit the ground running. And then throughout the first season, we start to pepper in the backstories and how these people all got here. And I think that that's a really intriguing way to show people character development. So I think that that'll be really interesting for people to see the secrets sort of start to unfold and start to understand those secrets a little bit.
How do those secrets affect your character, since you're caught literally in the middle?
Yeah, well, that's the interesting thing, is that these three characters have very little in this world to tether themselves to, except for this team, except for each other. And these secrets are constantly at a threat of pulling this team apart. So John's job, like I said before, he's sort of the fixer, is to smooth everything out and hold everything together. He's kind of the glue. And sort of also because he's got a relationship with Dutch and he's got a relationship with Davin. And those two just are only meeting because of John and are only sort of here because of John, the three of them. So his job is really to just hold this team together, because they have the potential of being such a great team and working together so well, but it's just sort of a bumpy ride of integrating all these three people and getting them to work together, because they're all big personalities. They're all dealing with a lot of stuff.
Now, do any of the fugitives, the warrants that you guys chase down, do they tie into maybe revealing some answers behind any of those secrets?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, pretty much everything, every task that we go on, every warrant that we go on, sort of reveals some sort of story, either about like the bigger story or also just elements of the world that we're working in. And that's just good writing, you know, that they can, it's not, the warrants are not just like things that we have to do and then the other story stuff is outside of it. It all does sort of tie together in a bigger picture. So as much as when we first jump into the show, it seems like we're just chasing down warrants or whatever, but I think that it, very quickly it starts to open up into a bigger sort of season arc. And we get to see the bigger picture of what's happening in this world.
What is your favorite part to play? Is it the problem solving or the action?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, I really like my favorite thing, I think, and when I watch it and when I've seen some of stuff, I get to fly the spaceship a lot. And I think that's the most fun for me, because it's kind of action. It looks really cool with all the effects. When you're doing it, it doesn't look like anything. And maybe that's why it's so cool to me, is when you're shooting it, you're just sitting in a cockpit, there's nothing happening. But when it's all put together, it just looks like you're actually flying a spaceship around the universe. And it's so cool to see that, because I see both sides of it. I see it like we're just sitting in a warehouse somewhere. There's nothing happening here. And so that's sort of some of the funnest stuff. I do like the action elements of things as well. That's obviously a lot of fun. But I think it's sort of some of the effects stuff that you get to see and that they integrate in that at the end of the day, I think is the coolest.
And, you know, the geek in me wonders, why can't they give you like a really big computer screen and make believe you're playing in a first-person spaceflight shooter, just to give you something to play against when you're flying the ship?
That would be cool. If we get a second season, I'll pitch it to them. I'll say, what do you think? The other cool thing is that when we got into the cockpit, nobody said, like, this is how you fly the ship. We had to kind of create those things ourselves. Like, okay, so this will be sort of like throttle, and this is, you know, you kind of got to create your own way of flying the spaceship, because there's nobody there teaching you, nobody there giving you a lesson. So it's kind of, it's really cool, the stuff you get to do.
Now, are you guys done with season one yet, or are you still filming?
No, we finished actually quite a while ago. So we've been waiting for our June 19th air date for quite a while, and I think we're all really excited that it's finally on us.
Excellent. Yeah, the series premieres June 19th, Friday, on Sci-Fi Channel. And I'm looking forward to it, because it, you know, action and sci-fi are, you know, that's my wheelhouse, I'll admit. And
well, then I think you're definitely going to like it.
Excellent, excellent. This and Dark Matter are teamed up together on Fridays, so a double.
Yeah, we air right before them, so hopefully it'll be a really good pairing. It seems to me like it will be.
It does, and you know, I for one am happy that Sci-Fi Channel is diving back into the space opera sci-fi realm, and this show looks like a lot of fun.
I think that's exactly true. I think it's really cool that Sci-Fi is kind of going back to their roots. And yeah, this show is definitely action-packed and fun, and it's just a real ride. I think people will be, you know, will definitely be along for the ride.
Now, are you going to be one of the many live tweeting during the show?
Yeah, I'm going to. I don't know if I'll do it every week, but I'm going to try. I'm definitely going to do it on the premiere, and we'll see how it goes. If people enjoy it, then maybe we'll do it every episode.
Cool. Where can they follow you for that?
I'm on Twitter, and my Twitter handle is, I'm just having to look it up so I don't tell people a false thing. My handle is at Aaron R. Ashmore.
Excellent. So we will keep an eye out for that and join into the community fray that is Twitter when a TV show is on and everybody's having a lot of fun. Are you working on anything else?
I've got a movie called Regression that's coming out, starring Ethan Hawke and Emma Watson at the end of the summer. And right now, just kind of waiting to hear if we get a second season. So hopefully we'll be back to work soon.
Excellent. Well, we will help promote Killjoy so that you do get that second season. And we'll talk to you again because this looks like a fun show. And I enjoy a good, fun sci-fi along with many, many other people.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you, Aaron. The show is Killjoys. The network is Sci-Fi Channel. Fridays, right before Dark Matter. Everybody tune in, have a little bit of fun, and check out Aaron on Twitter and give him some questions and comments about the show and what he's doing with it. But thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Annie.
And I'm Stephanie.
We're the hosts of The Quad, a podcast about sci-fi and Space Channel's new series, Killjoys.
Killjoys follows three bounty hunters that operate in a group of planets called The Quad that is on the verge of a class war.
We'll be discussing the episodes as they air and exploring the characters, themes, and story arcs. Find the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and at AskGenreTV.com.
See you in The Quad.
Hey, this is Will Wheaton from Radio Free Burrito and WillWheaton.net. You are listening to Slice of Sci-Fi, one of five podcasts that I regularly listen to because I'm a judgmental bastard.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Welcome back to more Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks. And yes, the summer viewing season, not mine personally, has rolled around. We have all the new shows starting up for the summer season. We have the summer movies rolling into high gear. Jurassic World just broke every record that the first Avengers movie set and doesn't look like it'll be slowing down anytime soon. Let's see, we have Terminator Genesis coming up, we have Ant-Man coming up, we have Minions, we have Selfless. Selfless looks actually kind of interesting. Noah and Darren are already on board to go to see that one, but I may try to sneak in myself too. There's Pixels, we have Mission Impossible, a documentary called Bat Kid Begins, the Man from U.N.C.L.E. will hit in August, along with the Fantastic Four, and Hitman Agent 47, and what's the other one? Sinister 2. Yeah, Sinister 2 for the horror fans out there who like the Blumhouse action. The TV season has gotten into full gear. Sci-Fi Channel's Dark Matter started. Killjoy starts tonight. Season 3 of Defiance is right here. And on ABC, we have the new sci-fi thriller, I guess, called The Whispers, which seems to be a lot like Threshold. Not really getting a good handle on where they're going with this. I can kind of guess where they're going, but there's just too much angst going on right now. The lead character, the lead investigator, the child behaviorist, annoys me. The way they've written her, she annoys the living crap out of me. I literally, during the second episode, all I wanted to do was grab her by her ponytail and just scream at her, going, "What are you thinking? Are you kidding me? Seriously?" So, yeah, there's that. On the other hand, on ABC Family, we have Stitchers, which has its moments of silliness, but is really, really engaging. All of the characters have their own little quirks and foibles, and it's a fun show. They're having fun with it, despite the fact that they're dealing with dead bodies. It's like Body of Proof, where you can read the dead person's mind. Yeah, who knows where they're going to go with this. There have been a few interesting connections between all the characters that are turning up and the mystery behind what happened to the creators of the Stitchers program, I think is going to get more intriguing as the season progresses. So I'm looking forward to that, and I'm probably going to do a full 5 episodes in review on that. What else do we have? Let's see. At the end of June, we have Humans on AMC. That's something a lot of people have been looking forward to. What happens when artificial humans become much more real? How do we deal with that? How do they deal with that? The first 2 episodes, I'm going to actually watch the first 2 episodes this weekend and try to get the writers of the series on for an interview later, so we'll see how that goes. Oh, FX, The Strain, Season 1 hit Hulu, so I'm going to binge watch that really soon because Season 2 of that comes back in July. On Netflix, we have Sense8. I have to find the time to binge watch that. And Kevin over at Tuning Into Sci-Fi Television keeps telling me I must watch iZombie. Since the season is over, I'm not in a rush to watch it, but I will make a point of watching it sometime before September. I can make you that promise. How's that? But I, for one, am really, really happy that we have so much new content to choose from during the summer months. I guess, you know, we've outgrown the weekly watching of reruns. Binge watching has just caught on, and it's to me, an easier way to get into a story than saying, "Oh, I'll catch that on reruns," and then watch the one episode and then forget the next week because you've got a family barbecue to go to or something. And I think the binge watching, the prevalence of binge watching, the ease of binge watching is changing the way people watch television and maybe changing the way people make television. Who knows? Maybe we'll get more series that are geared towards the 12, 13 episode season framework, because it does work out better. You don't have to worry too much about a story being dragged out. I've seen it make for tighter writing and I guess better paced stories. That's been the complaint of several longer season series the past couple of years, and The 13-episode format, I think, really works. Another reason I was hoping we would get more Constantine, because a 13-episode season on a different channel would just be awesome, but my hopes for that were dashed, darn it. Anyway, that will do it for this episode of Slice of Sci-Fi. If you have any questions or comments, add your own commentary to my summer watching television rant. That number is 602-635-6976. That's 602-635-6976. One of these days I'm going to put a button on the website so you can just hit it from your smartphone or your tablet and call me. If you want to record your own voicemail, go right ahead and email that to summer@sliceofsci-fi.com. You can also just email me a question or comment. I will read that on the show. You can catch us on Twitter, @sliceofsci-fi, also @sliceofscifi-tv, and @itscomicbookday. Also go over to the websites, sliceofscifi.com, itscomicbookday.com. There is a Facebook group out there. There is a Google Plus timeline out there. And thank you once again to everyone who donates, supporting the show, supporting the websites. Your contributions are welcomed. We also encourage sponsors. And many thanks to the geek rock band Sci-Fried for the awesome theme music that we have now. And that will do it for the show. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.